Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. All right, you guys, welcome. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and I've got like the coolest conversation for us today. I was talking to somebody about courting Havanese because I was at their handling. So anyway, and they said, you need to talk to Alice Lawrence from Fuzzy Farms because she's courted everything. And I'm like, genius. So Alice is here to join us today. Alice has been showing dogs for what, 50 some odd years? Yeah.
55 years. Yep.
Oh my God. And so I have always seen Fuzzy Farms and associated it with Pooley, but you have courted like everything. All right, you guys, I know I've been talking about this a lot, but I just want to make sure everybody hears about it. I know every pet owner out there has questions about their pet's health. The Marty and Laura Show is here to help. Hosted by Dr. Marty and I, the new podcast delivers fun, fact-based conversations about all things pet health, whether it's a runny puppy nose or a kitty cough. This show is really designed for your puppy buyers, for your friends, for your non-dog folks in your life, you know, your cousins, uncles, brothers, girlfriend. So feel free to share this on. We encourage you to use this as a great resource for the non-dog people in your life. Talk on. So give us a little, we call it the 411, a little background on what you've been doing with courted breeds for 50 some odd years.
Okay, well, first we started in Commodores, and we owned Commodores for well over 30 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And shortly after acquiring our first Commodore, we acquired our first Pooley. Mm-hmm. So we had Pooleys and Commodores forever and ever. And while we no longer have Commodores, we still have Pooleys. And then in the late 1990s, we acquired our first Havanese, which is a whole interesting story unto itself. And we've been courting Havanese ever since we acquired our Havanese.
Wow. And make sure I got this right. I know you told me some of this and I'm going to forget something because you've done so much. You've courted poodles.
Oh yeah. I have a courted poodle.
There you go. You've courted, did I see Pierre Sheps or am I imagining that?
Pierre Sheps. Yeah. We sure have Spanish water dogs, Bergamasco.
So you've literally shown every single breed that you can court or is normally courted.
I didn't show those dogs. I courted them for other people.
Oh,
I've only shown Commodores, Pooleys, and Havanese, and a toy poodle in court.
That is so amazing. Okay, so what made you, I mean, Commodore are not, you know, like I grew up with Anna out here, you know, I know about Commodore, but they're not for everyone. What made you fall in love with a Commodore?
Well, the story goes back to the very inception of the Fuzzy Farm. And by the way, it's Fuzzy Farm, not Fuzzy Farms. We only have one Fuzzy Farm.
My bad.
That's okay. Anyway, we had our very first dog, which was an Old English Sheepdog.
Mm.
That was in 1970-71. And we were brushing our arms off, trying to keep the dog in brush coat. And one day we were walking down the street and somebody on his porch was also brushing an Old English Sheepdog. And we kind of shared thoughts on that. And he said, you know, if you get tired of brushing an Old English Sheepdog, what you really want to get is a Commander dog. And we said, oh, what? Well, it took some research and translation of his term Commander dog till we found what a Commodore was. And from that point, from the very moment we saw what a Commodore was, we said, that's what we want. And while we owned our Old English Sheepdog for his entire life, about 13 years, after we acquired our Old English Sheepdog a couple of years later, in 1972, we acquired our first Commodore. And there's no looking back. And no, we never had another Old English Sheepdog. We don't want an Old English Sheepdog. We love the breed. We would never go back to brushing a dog like an Old English Sheepdog when you can have a dog of equivalent size or somewhat larger, mm-hmm. and be able to court it. So it was love at first sight.
And Kuomintang and Puli basically go together, right? Like the herding and the guardian breeds of Hungary. So,
correct. They're companions to one another.
And do they get along? Like, how do they work together? I just think that's such a fascinating relationship.
Well, the Kuomintang is the guard dog and yes. the Puli, the herding dog.
Yes.
And raised together, they get along together. I can't say that you'll never have a dispute, but for the most part, they're very compatible together.
Interesting.
We never had a problem when we had both breeds.
I love that. So you hated brushing, and that's why you went to cords, but maintaining cords is not exactly simple.
Well, compared to brushing, it is, but you have to understand what a cord is, why a coat cords, and how to maintain the cord. It's a different discipline. We think it's much easier than brushing, and it's a lifetime of being able to have your dog in a proper coat rather than brushing a dog, showing it, and shaving it down because you can't keep up with brushing it anymore. Mm-hmm. For the most part, our dogs live their entire lives corded. At the end of life, if we feel that the coat is interfering with their quality of life for whatever reason, or God forbid they have to have major surgery, at that point we will cut the coat down. But for the most part, our dogs live the majority of their lives fully corded and looking like they could go into the show ring at any moment in time.
Fantastic. So let's talk about Kuomintang and Puli specifically. Those cords have a purpose in their original function. Can you talk about that?
Sure. Well, for the most part, we think of cords as being a protection from predators. And a coat is very important to the environment and to the work that they do. Kuomintangs are, because they're protectors of the flock, they do guard against such things as wolves. And a fully corded Kuomintang, not necessarily the length of the coat, but the density of the coat, will prevent the wolf from biting the dog. The other thing is that Kuomintangs and Pulis in their native Hungary, in plains of Hungary, deal with very, very difficult weather conditions. And the coat protects them both from the cold as well as from the heat. It's an insulator. So it's really a very natural coat for the dogs to have for their entire life. Now, you might want to transition and say, well, why do Havanese cord?
And yeah, that was, Havanese don't have a job that requires cording, right? So what's that about?
Well, it's kind of interesting. Havanese first came to this country, well, the majority of Havanese arrived in this country during the Cuban Revolution, and they arrived in very difficult circumstances. Mm-hmm. They arrived coming on very primitive boats from Cuba to this country, dealing with very difficult, inhospitable conditions. And actually, when they arrived here, their coats, they didn't have sprays and brushes and pin brushes and wonderful grooming sprays on the boats with them. They were there for their survival, along with their precious little dogs. Many of the dogs arrived corded because their coats matted. And it may have been a very primitive looking cord, but it was nevertheless cording as a result of harsh weather and lack of modern grooming techniques. So when they arrived here, many of them were corded in a natural cording formation. And the people who were really responsible for promoting the breed were familiar with cords themselves because they had Kuomintangs. And so it was a very natural thing for them to have these, call it scruffy looking dogs that became corded very easily. And
right.
Cording, and this is very interesting to know, ever since way, way, way before AKC recognition, every standard for the Havanese in this country has always included cording as a coat presentation option. So it's not something that anybody created in a modern sense. It was here from cording is in our standard from the very, very beginning, just as cording in poodles is in their standard from well over 100 years, well over 100
wow.
years. So it's part of the proper recognition of the history of the breed and the presentation of the breed.
Well, and talk a little bit about the coat type that cords, right? Like poodles are very specific. They have poodles, hair. Are the other breeds that cord also hair, not fur, non-shedding, or are some of them more of that combined coat? Like, I know I've read about the phlox in the Spanish water dog, and those feel like they're a little different. So talk us through some of the hair types, because I think that's absolutely fascinating.
To cord any breed, you really need a coat that is a double texture, an undercoat and an outer coat. Okay. And the undercoat is a softer coat. It's more cottony. The outer coat is wavier, and it takes the wave of the outer coat to wind its way around the softer undercoat to create the cord. The cord itself is a shedded coat, so it's a matter of the, as the coat grows and this wavier outer coat winds its way around the more cottony undercoat, mm-hmm. that's what's creating this, call it a mat. It's yep. a mat, and it's an elongated mat. The thickness of the mat, sometimes it's natural as to whether or not a dog has a thick cord or a thinner cord, but for the most part, it's how you divide these mats that occur that will determine the thickness of the cord.
They're sort of like curated mats.
You could say that. And sometimes what we see today is people who have, and I love that word, have over-groomed the mat so that it looks like a strand of spaghetti. And while that's very beautiful on the look and the go-around as the dog flies around the ring, it's really not utilitarian in that the thinner the cord, the more easily pulled out it will be, and it's much more delicate.
When they get that thin, Alice? Do the cords just break?
Yeah, exactly. So we prefer in all of our breeds, Commendors, Poolies, and Havanese, to have a cord that's at least the width of a finger. So we don't want to see angel hair spaghetti, nor do we want to see something the size of your fist, but we like to see cords about fingers width. Those seem to stay stronger and move very effectively with the dog and are pretty resistant to the elements.
Okay, that's really, really fascinating. So walk us through, like, we talked a little bit about why we're cording these dogs. Let's talk about how you do it. I told you when we were talking about this one time a million years ago at a pet grooming shop, we had a couple poolies come in that they wanted brushed and then they wanted corded and then they wanted, and I'm like, y'all can't do this. Like, this is not okay. So, like, walk us through the concept of starting a cord, splitting the cords, maintaining the cords, how to keep them from pulling at parts. I just think this is so fascinating.
Those are all very good questions. You mentioned that somebody brought poolies in to be brushed or corded or whatever. I would like to say that it's very important to note that the poolie standard for the Poolie Club of America in the United States, we're the only country in the world that permits poolies to be shown brushed. And that's a whole other podcast, I guess, as to the history as to why that happened and how that came to me. But we are the only country that will allow you to show a poolie in either a brushed or a corded coat. Mm. Commendors, on the other hand, it is in the standard that it would be a disqualification if the coat isn't corded by age 2.
Oh, wow.
So Commendors have to be shown corded. Poolies can be shown brushed or corded. And same thing with a Havanese, they can be shown brushed or corded. Now, back to your question of, you asked, how do you get it to cord?
Well, yeah, they have to start, right? I mean, having watched, so Anna Quigley's friend, having watched people do this, like, they start fluffy and then they start turning into cords. And then you have to define the cords, right? Like, I just think this is the most fascinating process. So talk us through it.
Okay. Well, the first thing we tell people is, and this is the hardest concept for people to learn, throw the brush away. Everybody has.
Oh my God, that's so hard.
It's so hard. Exactly. It's so. And if we can convince you, if you want to have a corded dog, you have to stop brushing. There's no cheating. There's no way around it. If you're going to brush, the coat is going to be a wreck and it's not going to cord looking good. So throw the brush away. And then my next instruction to people is at around 5 or 6 months, in any of the breeds, Commodores, Poolies, or Havanese, or poodles, mist the coat every day with either just a plain light water spray or a leave-in conditioner. Just mist lightly. Let it air dry if it's lightly misted. And wait. And that's the hardest thing, because it's the waiting process that people find very discouraging, in that we're a show-and-go society. You want to buy a dog, you want to take it into the show ring, and you want to win. Well, that's not going to happen with any of the corded breeds. They're fluffy puppies, they're very cute, and they might do some winning then, but then the waiting process begins. And that's really the hard thing to teach people, is the patience that's required to have a corded dog look good in right. a corded coat. So how long does it take? We're often asked. How long is this going to take me? And I'm going to say that to be barely showable, it's going to take 1 year to be barely showable. To be competitive as a special, you're talking 3+ years. Wow. And it's very difficult to say to anybody of any age, whether it's a young family acquiring a dog or somebody who's, you know, 40, 50, 60 years old, who's been showing dogs for some time, that, okay, you want to show your dog, hold on to it for 3 years. But then I often talk to people who have large sporting breeds, and they're the first ones to tell you that their dogs are really not competitive in the ring. And I don't want to mention other breeds, but they're not competitive until they're 4 or 5 years old, maybe 6 years old.
I tell you, Spinoni are their most competitive from 4 to 6. So what is your process then with some of these? Do you finish them at like 9 months old and then cord them? So finish them in their puppy fluff? What's your strategy for that?
Yes, could be. That's a very good point. Going from small to big, our Havanese tend to finish rather early when we can find mages. Right now, there are no mages, but finishing our Havanese at 6, 7, 8, 9 months is not unusual for us. And that would be a good time to start cording them or letting them cord. Poolies, the same thing. They're really cute, fluffy, but the rarer the breed, like Poolies and Commodores, it's years before you can find enough points to finish a championship. So it's a hard judgment, and very often an excellent Poolie won't finish until they're 3, 4, or 5 years old, until you can get to enough specialties and pick up enough majors. And the same thing with Commodores, because Commodores look like big white bears until they start to cord. And then the hard thing with Commodores, and I'm kind of jumping back and forth amongst the three breeds that I've worked with, the hard thing with Commodores is keeping them clean. And yes.
I was just going to get to this. So I met Anna Quigley when I was a kid, right? Like, I saw her at the dog show with this bit, and I'm like, what in the heck? Right. And so my mom and I talked to her, and the dog's got socks over its feet. And I'm like, how do you wash that thing? She's like, well, I take it to the car wash. I'm like, ah.
Well, I don't know that she did that, but we certainly...
I'm pretty sure she was messing with our heads, but, you know, it was just incredible. So talk us through, like seriously, how do you keep a big white dog with hair on the ground? I mean, to me, that seems daunting.
It is daunting, which is why we no longer, after 32 years of owning Commodores, we reached our old age and said, we can't do this anymore. So when our last Commodore passed, we did not replace it, and we stayed with black Poolies.
Yes. And, not white Poolies, black Poolies.
Well, black and white Havanese. I mean, we learned our lesson trying to keep white Commodores white. It's a very difficult process, and my hat's off to those people who are still showing Commodores corded, and they're white, and they're spectacularly lovely. It is truly a massive job to keep the white coat white, because the nature of the cord is that it is a sponge. So it's porous, and if you walk a fully corded dog through a mud puddle, you're going to have cords that are, you know, 6 inches long of mud from the bottom up. So it's very daunting, and you have to keep shirts on them and them tied up. It's a big process, and really my hat's off to those people who still can keep it. We're seeing fewer and fewer young people coming into the breed, and the older folks are getting older, and it's getting harder for them. So it's a difficult process of how to perpetuate a breed that is so difficult to keep clean.
Yeah.
So that
So
is
what do you
it.
do? I mean, how do you or how did you wash a Commodore that, it's just being a dog and now
Well,
it's got a mud puddle on its face,
we have a bathtub. We purchased what's called an apartment-sized bathtub. So it's a little smaller than a standard bathtub, and we have it raised on cement blocks and shielded in. It's very nice. It looks very nice. You wouldn't know it was on cement blocks. So it's chest high. And by being chest high, we don't have to bend into the tub. Years ago, when we were youths in our 20s, we had a small house and a bathtub, and we used to hang over the bathtub and wash the dog with a handheld shower spray. But over the years, we've gotten much smarter and built a bathtub high up, and we use a high pressure water spray hose type that you use in an industrial kitchen restaurant to hose down dishes. So it's on a big hose and it's very, very high pressure. And we can get basically anything clean with that high pressure hose.
And do you use soap on it, or is that
Oh,
just
yeah.
not a, okay? All right.
Well, the analogy I give people when talking them through this process, people are always at dog shows, for example, saying, how do you wash it?
Right,
Is that
right.
have to envision how do you wash a heavy sweater? And you wash a heavy sweater by putting it in a tub, a sink, a basin with water, getting some whatever suds you're using for your sweater, and kind of swish it through. The difficult process is rinsing, because as you know, again, imagine the sweater is that it's very hard to get the soap out. So you have to start by using a low sud shampoo. We do use a low sud dog shampoo, and then we rinse. And we rinse and we rinse some more until it runs clear. And then we will use a leave-in conditioner so we don't have to rinse that out. For very highly stained areas, we'll use things like Dawn dishwashing soap. There are also some very good dog products that are made for stains and coats that we've used effectively. But the real trick is to keep the dog clean.
Right, like
And
never let it get dirty.
Well, avoid at all costs. So if you're thinking of, gee, I really want to go running through the woods with my Commodore, this is not the breed for you.
Please don't do that.
Please, please don't do that. And you have to think ahead of the process. So you have to say, oh, there's a mud puddle over there. I'm not going to walk over there. You really have to be very ingenious as to how to keep the dog clean, but still let the dog have a life.
Sure.
And we have a bit of property and we have 2 yards. We have a yard that's grass to the most extent we can keep grass there.
Sure.
And then we have a yard fully gated that's stone, small
Pea gravel or something.
pea gravel. So that in inclement weather, and here in New England, we have snow, we have rain, we have you name it, we have it. We keep them on gravel and stone and they really come back very, very dry. We also have pop-up tents in our yards with gating around them so that in really bad weather they're covered overhead. We do not have runs. We don't have kennel runs. We're not a kennel kind of house. Our dogs all live in our house. They do have a room we refer to as the dog room, but we don't have outside runs. We have gated yard areas for them because we really feel that exercise is incredibly important and runs just would not work for us. So that's how. So we're
So you
always
keep
trying to
them
keep it.
tied up, right? When they go out, they've got outfits and ties, like big hair ties. Is that how you, I've seen,
Yeah.
is that what you
Big,
use?
big scrunchy elastic that we tie. And then on the pulleys, our pulleys happen to have extremely heavy coats. For the pulleys, we use like a vet wrap kind of thing that goes around bulks of the cords so that when the boys lift their legs, they're not wetting the bulk of the cords. Some people find it effective to tie the cords over their backs. I don't. I find that that thins the coat. I do everything I possibly can to not cause stress on the cords themselves. You asked a question before, which I wanted to get back to, which was how does the coat develop out from the skin? Every corded dog that I've ever seen, every breed, the first maybe half inch to an inch of the cord is actually not tight. It's not corded. It's soft. It doesn't actually start to form a cord until it's about a half to 3/4 of an inch away from the skin. So people who are concerned about, isn't this bad for the skin? Mm-hmm. The answer is no. There's full air circulation at the skin. Mm-hmm. So it's not hot. It's not tight. It's not like when you put a ponytail in a little kid and they say, oh, it hurts, it hurts. It's much softer than that. And it's really wide open. And just to circle back again with Havanese, Havanese is known for having a silky coat. And mm-hmm. people are always saying, if it's corded, how can you tell if it's silky? Yeah. And I always say, touch them at the base of the cord and feel it with your thumb. Just stroke that beginning part of the cord and you can see how silky it is. It's not woolly. It's not wiry. It's not harsh. It's silky. And all of a sudden, you know, like the light goes on and they say, oh, my goodness, you're absolutely right. Feel that. So over the years, I've trained enough judges that it's always a pleasure to see them go to the top line of the dog and use their thumb, the edge of their thumb, to feel along the beginning part of the cord to admire how beautifully silky that coat is. And it's not a matter of cord formation because the coat is harsh. It's a matter of cord formation because there are two types of coat. It's a wavier coat, which the Havanese must have, a wave to the coat, and the undercoat. So many people today are seeing coats in their show ring that unfortunately have been flat ironed. So they don't see this beautiful, beautiful wave. The coat is required, whether it's brushed or corded, to stand away from the body because it's such a beautiful, it's the undercoat and this wavier outer coat, which makes it such a beautiful breed. And to see it destroyed by a flat iron to make it something that it's not is really heartbreaking. But the corded coat in the Havanese is a natural outcome of having that double coat, the wavy coat and the softer, more cottony undercoat. I kind of backed around.
No, that's okay. That's great. We do a lot of going down rabbit holes on the show, so it's all good.
Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute.
Purina is excited to tell you about the new My Purina app that lets you share with your puppy buyers. Using the app, pet owners can shop, earn points, and get rewarded for their purchases. Here's how it works. Pet owners download the My Purina app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store on their mobile device. They also can sign up for an account and access the program's features online by visiting purina.com/mypurina-app. APP. When pet owners buy everyday pet supplies like treats and ProPlan puppy and dog food, they can scan the receipts to earn rewards. Dog toys, food coupons, tote bags, bag dispensers, smart ID pet tags, and training clickers are just some of the great items available. The My Purina app supports puppy buyers and rewards them for being a super pet parent. They can find the formula that suits their pet's unique needs and explore the train and play content library for a bonding experience with their pet. Encourage your clients to join the app that brings pets and the Purina passion together. My Purina, where you shop, earn, and get rewarded. Okay, so I wanted to go back too. I wanted to talk about, because I found this fascinating when we were doing the pet groom on those coolies in Nebraska. They use like a knitting needle or some, you know, the way to split the cords, right? When you're trying to maintain the cords to keep them right. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, I've never heard of using a knitting needle, nor do I use a knitting needle. But to separate sometimes the matting, I won't say that it's been neglected, but if you find that the coat has come together and it looks too wide and you want to separate it. Over the years, my husband and I both have extensive arthritis in our thumbs from pulling coat apart by hand. So what we have used fairly effectively more recently is an L-shaped letter opener. It's one of these little plastic gizmos that has that kind of just has a point on one end and kind of looks like an L shape, and it has the blade in between, and it's perfectly safe because the only thing that's ever touching the dog's skin is the plastic part of the blade. And we buy those in the dollar store, in the office supply department of your dollar store. You pick them up, usually two for a dollar, or never more than a dollar each. You can buy them by the truckload, and when they get dull, you can just throw them out. Or you can buy them from some of the top dog show product companies in the world, and you can buy them for $40 or $50. We kind of like the ones that run two for a buck and get rid of them when they get dull. So back to the question is, when we find our thumbs can no longer work with a cord, we resort to doing that. Just being very careful not to make them too thin, as I said before. We personally, I'm not being critical of anyone else's decision, but Steve and Alice Lawrence personally don't like these really skinny spaghetti cords, because if they get hooked on a foot or trapped in a door frame or a drawer and you find the cord on the floor, it's heartbreaking. So we hardly ever, ever, ever lose a cord accidentally as a result of keeping our cords, again, the width of the finger.
Sure, sure. But that is a maintenance process, right? Like, you have to intentionally make them that size, or talk about that a little bit.
Well, that's interesting. I think it varies somewhat dog by dog, breed by breed. My kudos go to, and my hat goes off to, the poodle world. Poodles, of all the breeds I've ever been associated with, that I've ever corded for people, and I have now corded for people, standards, minis, and toys, my own toy, is that poodles cord better and faster than any other breed I've ever worked with. Mm-hmm. They are a natural corded breed. Now, unfortunately, and the poodle people themselves who are upfront and honest, some of the coats are just terrible, which is why you see so much hairspray and teasing and this and that. Many poodles have wonderful coats, and those that do will cord, close your eyes, 3 weeks, that dog is corded.
Oh my God.
I mean, they are the fastest breed. My toy poodle, for various unfortunate reasons, has been shaved to the skin 3 times in her lifetime and has grown cords down to the floor 3 times. I mean, she's absolutely incredible coat and very fast.
That's a hair machine, man.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So poodles, if you want to play with a dog to cord it, work with a poodle first, because it will teach you everything you need to know and do it fast.
Yeah.
So I'm in awe of that breed from the coat alone, because their coats are just naturally cordable coats. Again, for a correct coat.
Sure.
And
sure.
Those of that have an incorrect coat, I can't help with anything.
We can't.
Keep brushing, folks.
Can't help
keep
you.
Brushing. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So just kind of final topic, just from your, like, you've worked and helped other people with some of the newer breeds, the Bergamascos, the Pure Sheps, the Spanish Water Dogs, some of these, and those are quite different than poodles or Havanese or even Commodores and Pooley. So can you talk a little bit about the differences in their coats, like flocks versus cords versus this versus that? Because to me, it's all a little bit Greek.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you asked that. Yes. Of those three that you mentioned, the Spanish Water Dog, the Bergamasco, and the Pure Shep, the Pyrenean Shepherd, the Spanish Water Dog is more like the breeds that I'm most familiar with. It's more like a, and I hope they won't shoot me for saying, it's more like a poodle coat. Remember, the Spanish Water Dog gets clipped down every year.
Yes.
So then at its full growth will look and be more corded. So it's got, those Spanish Water Dogs have beautiful coats. It's a wonderful breed, and they cord relatively easily because of the nature of the coat. So to me, their coat is more like a poodle coat than it would be like a Bergamasco coat.
Okay.
The Pure Shep has, and to some degree the Bergamasco too, has two different types of coats. It has a straighter, more goat-like hair.
The goat hair. That's
the goat hair.
Just fascinating.
And I don't mean this negatively, but it's a coarser hair.
Right.
Intermingled with the softer, denser hair. And again, the Bergamasco call it flocks. Mm-hmm. You can call it anything you want. It's a cord. It's a more natural cord in that it's not defined. It's not sculpted. It's not trimmed. It just is what it is. And they choose to refer to it as flocks. To me, anything that is dense and kind of clumped together is my terminology is a cord, call it what you want, but they call it flocks. And it's just a matter of coat that mats together. The Bergamasco coat is, and please believe me, I'm not an expert in Bergamasco or pear chefs or Spanish putter dogs.
Right. So it's just fascinating, this whole category of the dreadlock dogs. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I think they're great.
And people, I think, used to get very offended by when dreadlocks on people became more popular. People and dogs became a little offended that anyone would say that their dog, oh, does your dog have dreadlocks? Well, you know, we're now just talking about definitions. You know, if you want to call them dreadlocks, call them dreadlocks, call them anything you want. This is what they are. I don't get offended by anything. I don't get offended if people say, oh, your dog has flocks, and I don't correct them, say, call them. Yeah, we call them cords, you call them flocks. You know, what the heck? It's all the same that, you know, it's, they look different on different dogs, and the hair on the Bergamasco is different, and, you know, they like their flocks wide, small, and I think the Pooley coat and the Commandeur coat is perhaps looks more elegant because it's more uniform in the way it's formatted. And again, I think the thing about these coats, whether it's the Poodle coat, Commandeur, Pooley, Havanese, is that it's not for everybody's taste. And we acknowledge that.
Sure.
Not everybody is going to love it the way I love it. And I truly do love the corded look on the dogs when it's maintained correctly. I don't like a dirty Commandeur. Not at all. It's horrible.
He's
don't like a Pooley. You know, we see a lot of Pooleys who've had so much stress put on their coat. And Commandeurs, too, they have a saddle along the top that they've lost all their top coat along the top line. I don't like that look. Mm-hmm. So a well-maintained coat, regardless of the breed, is very beautiful to me. A poorly maintained coat is not beautiful. And that's the same thing, you know.
But I think that's true of any coat type. You know, a wire coat, a drop coat. You know, good maintenance is good maintenance is good maintenance, right?
Exactly. And I think that some people feel that you can get away with more neglect in a corded coat than you could if it was a Lhasa Apso or a Shih Tzu or anything else. And it's not true. A well-maintained coat is a well-maintained coat regardless of the breed. So I find a beautifully corded coat wonderful. It's exciting to me, and I can't say enough good things about it. I think a poorly maintained brush coat is horrible. It's really a matter of preference and taste. Yeah. And I'm not saying I'm right and all these other breeds are wrong. Not at all.
That's why I wanted to talk to you, is just loving cords as a concept is not something you see everywhere. And I wanted to hear about that because I think that is fascinating. I love wire coated breeds. All of my breeds are wire coated. Wire hair pointer, wire haired Ibethan, Spinoni. Like, exactly. I want wire haired dogs. I like them. So,
absolutely.
You know, I think that that's part of what makes the purebred dog world go around, Alice, is that there's a little something for anybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, if it brings a smile to your face, it's worth everything. It's a joy. My husband, Steve, and I are the only people we think in the world who hold the record of having best in show ribbons at all breed shows on three different corded breeds, Commandeurs, Pooleys, and Havanese. We have yet to see any record of anybody else achieving that. We really love the breeds, and we love our breeds, and we love them corded. And people say, well, don't you have any Havanese that are brushed? And I certainly do have Havanese that are brushed. And I maintain that it's important to have both brushed Havanese as well as corded Havanese. It's the nature of the breed.
This is one of the questions I was talking to somebody about. Like, do you cord a Havanese with a better top line? And like, what's the strategy on that? Like head, top line? When do you braid the brushed one? Like, I just find all that completely fascinating.
Well, that may be another podcast. It's maintaining the Havanese coat.
Okay. All right. We'll do a whole podcast on which ones you do how in the Havanese and why. I love that.
Exactly. I think that there's no hiding a bad top line with a corded coat. So if the dog doesn't have a correct top line, you probably don't want to cord it. Same thing with Poolies and Commodores. If they have a bad top line, those breeds are going to stick out like a sore thumb because there's no hiding a bad top line. In these brush breeds, especially brush breeds with lots of coat, you can hide anything.
You can do anything, man.
Yeah, cords are less forgiving. So I think that kudos to people who cord their dogs because they really have to have good ones in order to win with a corded coat. First of all, many judges don't like cords in any breed. I've shown Poolies to judges who say to me, do I have to touch it? You know, it's just...
That's so awful.
Some people find it revolting. I get that, and I'm sad, and I have a list of those judges that I don't show dogs.
Keep a list, man. You are on my blacklist.
No, you're on my do not show to list. Or I say, do not show cords to. You know, they may be fine with brush dogs or puppies, but if they don't like a fully coated dog, regardless of the breed, I know who they are.
Pointless. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and please tell me, you know, if you don't like cords, please tell me right off the bat. Yeah, exactly. It is very uncommon. I can't tell you the last time I saw a mature brushed Poolie in the ring. Generally, Poolies are today all brushed.
I think I've seen one in 40 years in dogs. I think I've only ever seen one.
Exactly. And their coats are really hard to maintain brushed. And the origin of that, well, it's a whole other story, but when the Poolies were being brushed in this country, they were bred to have what were called open coats. They actually looked more like bearded collie coats than Poolie coats. And then as the corded coat, as more dogs became imported from Hungary and corded coats became more fashionable and more acceptable, it was much easier to win with a corded Poolie than a brush Poolie. And fewer people were breeding Poolies for open coats. Mm-hmm. So it was even harder and harder because now you're keeping this giant fluff ball brushed out. And it was really very difficult. So you hardly ever see a brush Poolie. I can't tell you, you know, it was probably 30, 40 years ago since I saw one.
Seriously. I mean, it's not my breed, not my group, but I think I've only ever seen one. All right. Well, Alice, I have taken a whole bunch of your time and I just cannot tell you how much I appreciate it. I love the best part about my job. And I said this earlier, best part about my job is to get to talk to passionate people about what they love. And that is never going to be a bad day at my job.
Well, please, anytime. I mean, cording is my thing. I'm called the queen of cords. And, you know, people from all over the world contact me about how to cord whatever breed it is they're trying to cord. And I love helping people do it. And I love talking about it. And whatever I can do to encourage people to show their dog the way it should be shown is very important to me. So anytime.
Thanks so much.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our Dog Show Superintendents are the hardworking people who make the Dog Show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the Supers desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.